Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, special thanks to Sister Ghada. MashaAllah, you can see this beautiful work that she has done with these cloths and how to decorate all these things with the beads, MashaAllah, in the love of Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Please say a loud salawat for her and one surah al-Fatiha for her marhumeen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المهدي من ولدي اسمه اسمي وكنيته كنيتي أشبه الناس بي خلقا وخلقا صلوات Tabriq and congratulations to all of you respectable brothers and sisters as we are commemorating the Milad of the Imam of our time who is the Khatamul Awsiya and Warasul Anbiya Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan Waliyul Asr Sahibul Asr wa Zaman Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam It is not jaiz to mention his name because he himself has said in his tawqi man sammani fi majma'in min an-nas fa alayhi la'natullah whoever names me in a gathering of people upon him be the la'nat and curse of Allah So you find that our scholars, when they write his name, they write it like meme, a broken meme, and a broken ha, and a broken meme, and a broken dal. That's how the scholars write his name. So the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow us to mention his name. Instead, we are supposed to focus on the sifat and attributes of the Imam and focus on the goal that he is pursuing so we can prepare ourselves keeping in view all those sifat this is what is required this is required to prepare ourselves for the inheritor of all the prophets because the hadith says فِي الْقَائِمِ مِنَّا سُنَنٌ مِّن سُنَنِ الْأَنْبِيَاء Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says how it's narrated in Kamaluddin wa itmamun ni'ma of Shaykh al-Saduq that in the qa'im amongst us, that means the riser, the imam who is going to do the uprising, in the qa'im amongst us, there are sunnats, traditions among the traditions of the prophets. Sunnatun min Adam, wa sunnatun min Nuh, wa sunnatun min Ibrahim, wa sunnatun min Musa, wa sunnatun min Isa. So he has tradition from all these prophets. Wa sunnatun min Ayyub, wa sunnatun min Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa
sallam.
So وَسُنَّةُ فَأَمَّا مِنْ آدَمَ وَنُوحٍ فَطُولُ الْعُمُرِ. As far as the sunnah goes, that thing that makes him mushabih and resembling to Prophet Adam and Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, so here it is, what makes him resembling to those prophets. فَطُولُ الْعُمُرِ, long life. Prophet Adam alayhi salam had a very long life. For 300 years when he was taken out of Jannat, for 300 years, although it's a controversy among our Mufassirin, what was the Jannat? Is it the same Jannat that we talk about, the Jannat and the Nar, Jannat and the Jahannam, or it was something different, garden, Jannat in the literal meaning of the word garden. Is that right? So one of the Aqwal in the Tafsir says that it was كانت روضة من رياض الجنة. It was one of the gardens among the gardens of روضة من رياض الدنيا. You know, that's the مضمون الرواية. So it's one of the gardens among the gardens of this earth. So whatever it was, when he was taken out of that garden, he cried for 300 years. So Allah knows for how long before he was there, and for how long after that he survived. It's a very long age. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salam had a very long age. Nothing of surprise. In Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is, qadir to do everything. Everything is doable for him. His power and strength and capability is unlimited, limitless. For likewise, Nuh alayhi salam propagated in his qawm, in his nation, for 950 years. His entire age was more than 2,000 years. So he had a long life. So there is no room for someone to say, if Imam Mahdi alayhi salam was born, then where is he right now? It's not possible. Well, how was it possible for Nuh alayhi salam to have a long age? Isn't it right? And we have somebody who is even longer than Nuh alayhi salam, because we believe in our Islamic belief system, Hazrat Idris alayhi salam is alive, who is another messenger, another prophet of Allah. And Hazrat Idris alayhi salam was qabla Nuh. He was sent by Allah as a prophet before Nuh alayhi salam. He is still alive. Isn't it right? And Shaitan is alive too. Isn't it right? Shaitan was created before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and is going to be there till according to some narrations, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam is going to kill him. Wa amma min Ibrahim, that sunnat which makes him resemble to sunnat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he has فَخِفَاءُ الْوِلَادَ وَاَعْتِزَالُ النَّاسِ. That means his viladat and his birth was hidden. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salam in his time also, similar to Fir'aun, Namrud la'anatullahi alayhi was also ready to kill. So the viladat, the birth of Ibrahim alayhi salam was done, Allah made sure, Allah did it in a way that it was hidden from Namrud. So his viladat was also in a hidden way. And also, i'tizal al-nas. This is what Ibrahim did. He used to live in Iraq. He used to propagate Tawheed. So he propagated in his nation and did become Muslim. So he left his people from Iraq and he migrated towards Sham. That's where he saw the people worshipping the sun. Is that right? Some people are worshipping the stars, some people are worshipping the sun. Is that right? And he again provided his hidayat and guidance to them. They did not listen. Then he again migrated from Sham. So he had a sunnat and tradition of leading the people after doing the Itmam al-Hujjat, fulfilling the evidence. This is exactly what Imam, our Aimma alayhim salam, fulfilled the Itmam al-Hujjat. They did the fulfillment of the evidence upon us. And now is the turn of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhim salam. So he is doing i'tizal. He is keeping away from the humanity. وَأَمَّا سُنَّةُ وَأَمَّا مِن مُوسَى فَالْخَوْفُ وَالْغَيْبَ. The sunnat which is there from Musa alayhi salam is khawf. Isn't it right? So he was also afraid when he killed that Qibti person in Egypt, supporter of Fir'aun. He was khaif to be revenged by Fir'aun. So he left his hometown, he left here that area, and he migrated towards Madian. And stayed there for 8 years with Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, married his daughter. Is that right? So he, the khawf and ghaibat, keeping away from his nation, Bani Israel. This is the ghaibat that he did. وَأَمَّا مِنْ عِيسَى فَاخْتِلَافُ النَّاسِ فِيهِ. The sunnat which is from Isa alayhi salam is the ikhtilaf of the people about him. Just like about Isa alayhi salam, there is ikhtilaf. Similarly, about Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam is also ikhtilaf. There are people who say he is not born yet. So many of the Muslims say that he is not born. He will be born, but he is not born yet. وَأَمَّا مِنْ أَيُّوب. And I have in my mind to talk about five or six of the alqab of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam today. Insha'Allah, he has a total list in An-Najm al-Saqib. An-Najm al-Saqib is a very famous book of Muhaddis al-Nuri. Muhaddis al-Nuri is the ustad of Muhaddis al-Qummi. Very famous Muhaddis in our history, written so many books. And one of his books is An-Najm al-Saqib. And in that book, Muhaddis Nuri is talking about 182 alqab. 182. 182 alqab of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So, for those who are interested, they can go to that source to find out. I will inshallah mention 5 or 6 tonight. وَأَمَّا مِنْ أَيُّوبَ فَالْفَرَجُ بَعْدَ الْبَلْوَى. The sunnah from Ayyub alayhi salam is faraj. Faraj means opening. بَعْدَ الْبَلْوَى, after the test. After Ayyub alayhi salam was tested with all that, sickness that and the suffering that he went through, isn't it right? Then Allah provided the opening for him. Similarly, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is at the suffering end. He is the one who is being punished by the people. Isn't it right? There is no one on earth who is more in aziyat and adha and pain and torture more than Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. The highest torture and highest pain today on the planet of earth is upon Imam alayhi salam. We all are in less pain as compared to him. Isn't it right? Because he what is done towards him, what is done against him, is unimaginable for us. And not just that, but all the previous pains of his ajdad and ancestors are in front of his eyes, because he is ma'soom. He cannot forget the incidents of Karbala because he is ma'soom. We are we are sinners, we are not ma'soom. So if my dad passes away, even right, I cry upon him on the first day. On the second day I cry less. On the second week I cry very less. After a month maybe I remember him very less. After a while I even forget. That's the way we humans are. Isn't it right? Because we are not ma'soom. But when we talk about the concept of ismat in ilmul kalam, it is ismat fil akhd, and ismat fil hifd, and ismat fil nashr. All the three aspects of ismat. Which means in receiving the message of Allah and protecting the message of Allah and spreading, disseminating the message of Allah. So everything is, whatever he is taught, is never lost. Whatever he has learned is never lost from his mind. Never. Everything he learned from Allah is in front of his eyes 24/7, 360. He cannot forget because he is masoom. It's part of the concept of ismat. So he sees the pain of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He sees the pain of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. He sees the pain of Amir Mumi. All the madalim done on Anbiya and Aima are in front of his eyes. So he has the largest torture as compared to anyone. This is the level of balwa and test which he is going through. Isn't it right? And Allah is going to provide the faraj and opening for him, inshallah. So we don't believe like some sects of Islam say Ayyub alayhi salam had illness and which were, there was pus coming out of his illness. This is not what we Isna Ashari believe. This kind of illnesses can never happen to any Nabi because this is repulsive. People will turn away from the Prophet or the Messenger of the Imam if they have this kind of sickness. It is impossible and muhal for a Nabi or a Rasul or an Imam to have an illness which repels the people away from him, because that's against the hadaf of Ba'sat. If that's what happens, then why did Allah send him to be a Nabi when people are supposed to turn away from him? So a Nabi never has a Prophet and a Rasul, an Imam, al-Ma'soom, never has any sifat or attribute that causes the people to turn away from him. Pus is one of those attributes. Isn't it right? So Nabi, according to our Aqeedah, can never have that. This is what some other sects of Islam say about Ayyub alayhi salam. We don't believe like this. So yes, he went through sufferings and illness, but not that sort of illness which had pus coming out of it. وَأَمَّا مِن مُحَمَّد صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَالْخُرُوجُ بِالسَّيْفِ. So as far as the sunnah with our Holy Prophet is concerned, that's the sunnah which makes our Imam resembling to our Holy Prophet. From this aspect as well is khuruj bisayf, means doing the uprising with the sword. He is going to do the uprising with the sword. So there is no ifs and buts. There is no room for people to escape from their crimes. Justice has long been waited to be served, and now is the time when the person who personifies his mujassam, he is the one who is the madhar of the adl of Allah in the fullest. When he comes, then the justice has to be served, and no one can escape from that. So first of the alqab that I want to mention today is the laqab which is Baqiyatullah. Baqiyatullah means the remainder of Allah. He is the remainder of Allah, and this laqab is derived from the ayat of Quran where Allah says Baqiyatullah khayrul lakum in kuntum mu'mineen. So that's khair for you if you are mu'mins. So this is the laqab which is, this ayat is related to the Imam of our time. This is the laqab with which all the 313 people will address him and say salam to him when they meet the Imam at the Holy Kaaba after his appearance. As-salamu alayka ya baqiyat Allah fi ardihi. So salam to you, O baqiyat of Allah. First step, these people, these 313 will take their first step. And the second step, some of the scholars have mentioned that the second step would be with the tayyul arv, the earth squeezing up and taking them into the al-masjid al-haram, the masjid of the Kaaba, and they will meet the Imam miraculously from all the various corners of the world, because they are already the most closest people to the Imam before his appearance. That's why they are the ones who deserve to join the Imam first. Each one calling the Imam with this, As-salamu alayka ya baqiyatullah fi ardihi. And so we find that Imam alayhi salam also is going to introduce himself with the same laqab. He will recite the ayat of Quran after the zuhur, Baqiyatullahi khairul lakum. That's the first thing that he would speak, this ayat of Quran, and then he will introduce himself to the audience, Ana Baqiyatullah. Is that right? I am the Baqiyat of Allah, and the Hujjat and his Hujjat and his Khalifa. So this is Mukhtas with the Imam alayhi salam. The second laqab of the Imam is Al-Hujjah. Hujjah in Arabic means the evidence. So it serves two ways. It's a dual face. Hujjatun min Allah ala nas wa hujjatun, hujjatun min al-nas ala Allah. If Allah did not fulfill his teachings, did not provide the guidance, then people have hujjat against Allah. But Allah has already fulfilled his hidayat and guidance through the prophets and the imams. So people do not have any hujjat. The only aspect remaining of hujjat is hujjat of Allah against the people, because Allah provided the guidance already. So every imam is the hujjat of Allah. We call them hujjatullah, the plural. But whenever in the narrations you find the word al-hujjah mentioned without any qareena, any indicator, this will definitely is talking about, our scholars say in the tafsir, it's definitely talking about Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. The word so he, and some of the scholars say this word is also in the meaning of ghalaba and sultana. That means he is the one who has been provided the government, and ghalaba means he will overcome everyone else. So this is how he is the hujjat of Allah, establishing the government on everyone else. And the script, the writing on his ring is also ana hujjatullah. I am the hujjat of Allah. So this is something again which is the word al-hujjah alone is specific to him, like this. The third laqab of the Imam is Al-Khalaf or Al-Khalaf al-Salih. Khalaf means the one who comes later, and Salaf means the generations who were before, earlier generations. Khalaf are the later generations, and the person belonging to the later generation, and Salaf means the person belonging to the earlier generation. So Imam alayhi salam is called Al-Khalaf or Al-Khalaf al-Saleh because he is the last one. There is nothing, no one else remaining from the lineage of the Prophet. And so he is the last one in that generation. And he is the one who is the inheritor of all the Prophets and all the Imams. So the sifat and attributes of every Prophet and the mawaris of Anbiya, the inherited items of all the Prophets, are with him. So the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the Zulfiqar, and the Qamis of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and so on and so forth, and the Mushaf of Fatima, and the Quran with Amir Mumi alayhi salam collected, isn't it right? And the rest of the blessed items from Ahlul Bayt and the previous Anbiya, all of them, Asa of Musa alayhi salam, all those things are with him. Not just that, but the sifat of Anbiya. So he has the sifat and attributes of all the Anbiya. Some of the narration says that Imam alayhi salam, when he would appear at the Holy Kaaba, relaxing his back over the wall of Kaaba between the Rukn al-Yamani and Maqam, the Maqam of Ibrahim. So between the Rukn and Maqam, Rukn al-Yamani is that corner of the Kaaba which is the closest to the point where Hazrat Fatima bint Asad salamullah alayha entered. That corner, if you remember. So, and the corner which has the Al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, we call it Rukn al-Hatim. Right? So Rukn al-Yamani is that corner which is closest to the spot where Hazrat Fatima bint Asad salamullah alayha, she entered. So between the Rukn al-Yamani and the Maqam of Ibrahim, somewhere between that area, he will be sitting with his back towards the Kaaba, and that's where he will address to the people by saying that learn that whoever wants to look at Adam and Shees, so I am Adam and Shees. And then he will continue forward by mentioning similar statements of our scholars say, similar statements of our Prophet Nuh and Sam and Ibrahim and Ismail and Musa and Yusha and Shamun and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and all the Imams. The third laqab of the Imam is Ash-Sharid. Sharid means someone who is taken out of his home. Someone who has been taken out of his house. He's wandering. This is what is similar to Isa alayhi salam, who was homeless. Isa alayhi salam is that prophet who never had a house, did not buy it, did not get any house in his life. He was wandering in his life from one place to the other. And the same is the place situation of Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. He doesn't have any house. So he is called a Sharid. He is taken out of his house. He has no house, and obviously he himself has mentioned in his hadith that his dad, Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, had asked him to choose a place choose a place which is most makhfi and hidden and farthest away. So this is what he is doing. He is available in places which are away from the population and hidden. So no one has any information and knowledge except those who have his ma'rifat. So he is the Sharid. He is the one who is taken away from his house. And this is one of those alqab. Now the next one is al-Gharim. Gharim in Arabic, it works both ways. So a person who is talib and matlub, both. If you want your money back from somebody, you are talib. You want the money. You are seeking your money back. Or if you are matlub, you know, if others want from you, so if you want from the people or if others want from you, both meanings are there for the word al-gharim in Arabic. And both of the meanings apply for Imam Sahib Zaman al-Salam as well. Because he is the one who wants from us. And also he is the one from whom we all want. What does he want from us? To have his ma'rifat. This is what he is expecting from us, the believers. Remember, Imam al-Salam is going to appear at a time where the narration says, where, you know, most of the people, I repeat, most of the people who believe in his imamat, who believes in the imamat? The Sunni brothers? No. Sunni brothers don't believe in the imamat of Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Isn't it right? They believe there is a Mahdi who will be born, but they don't believe he is an imam. Isn't that right? Who believes in the imamat? The Shia people. Aksariyat, al-ghalibiyya, most of the Shias who believe in the imamat will become murtad, the narration says. Because they will deny his imamat. They will start supporting the taghuts. That's a very live issue that when we talk about taghuts so much, you know, we don't get paid. We don't want to be paid. It's a live issue of Quran. Can you want to take out the ayah? Quran of Tahrir from the Quran and do the Tahrir just because you want a comfortable life? Isn't it right? That's why some people don't like it. So we find most of the people, the narration tells us, most of the people who used to believe in his imamat will become murtad, and a minority will be the one who will be remembering him. So he is expecting the ma'rifat from us. And supporting him for the divine agenda of Iqamatul Adl al-Ilahi, installing the divine justice. And what are we wanting from us? The Ulum and Ahkam. We are all thirsty to learn the Ulum, the knowledges of Prophet, and the Ahkam of the Prophet. The Shariat that me and you are following, our Fuqaha call it Al-Ahkam al-Zahiriyya. We are not following Al-Ahkam al-Waqi'iyya. the real rulings. The real rulings are the ones which are written on Allahul Mahfuz, the divine slate. We don't have access to the divine slate. Only the Masoom can read the divine slate. Isn't it right? So when Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam comes, that's why he can read the law directly. He has no hijabat in front of his eyes. So he can tell from the Al-Ahkam Al-Waqi'iyya, the real rulings of the Sharia which are written by Allah on the divine slate. What we are following today are Al-Ahkam Al-Zahiriyya, the apparent rulings. This is what the best of what the mustahid can understand. He doesn't have Ilm Al-Ghaib. He's not even obliged to have Ilm Al-Ghaib because he cannot. He's a non-masoom. The best what he can do from his research is this. There is no other option for us because we are mahroom to see the Imam. So we are, Ghareem works both ways. So we are expecting from the Imam to come and teach us the Uloom and the Ahkam for the survival and the Hayat of the Quloob. The next and the last laqab which I would mention before I end my speech, and we have the Qasida and Manqabat in Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, English, inshallah, for all of you. The next one is the laqab of Al-Qa'im. Now this is the laqab. This means the riser. Every imam is the Qa'im. كُلُّنَا قَائِمٌ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ The hadith says, we are all قَائِم بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ Again, why do we single out the Imam of our time and call him Al-Qa'im? Because some narration says, obviously, he is the one who is going to establish the hukumat of Adl on the whole world. Well, every Imam was ready to do that if he had the A'wan and Ansar and the support from the people, but people betrayed the Imams. So every Imam had the niyat and they get the same reward. There's no difference. So why are we calling him alone? Some of the narrations say, because when the event of Karbala took place, angels of Allah complained towards Allah against the massacre of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and asked Allah about taking the revenge. And that is where, this is what we learn in the light of the narration. I'm not telling the exact words of the hadith, riwayat. I'm telling this is what we learn in the light of the narration. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyid ibn Ta'us has mentioned, and Muhaddis Qummi has also mentioned, that Allah, draw their attention towards the nur of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, which was standing between the Anwar of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Even among the Anwar of Ahlul Bayt, his nur was in the standing position. So Allah said, Sayyid ibn Ta'us says, Antaqim bihadha al-qa'im. I am going to take the revenge through this qa'im. This is the reason why our scholars say that Imam alayhi salam is called the Qa'im, despite the fact that all the Imam are Qa'im. Is that right? We are supposed to call all of them as Qa'im, and this is true. But why do we specifically call him? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين Let's read the dua for the ma'rifat of the Imam اللهم عرفني نفسك فإنك إن لم تعرفني نفسك لم أعرف نبيك اللهم عرفني رسولك فإنك in lam tu'arrifni rasulaka lam a'rif hujjataka. Allahumma arrifni hujjataka fa innaka in lam tu'arrifni hujjataka dalaltu an dini. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.